You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 157. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week we've got a couple of things to cover, a couple of contests over. We had a 1E tournament locally, and there's probably something else I'm forgetting, but that's a good place to start. I think the oldest thing we've got on the docket is our regional draft from the 2012 regional season, which is far over, and I think we were still waiting for one results, but you know what? I'm going to call it.
I think that's good. It's been over for a while.
Yeah. We promised a prize to the top placer, who was not us, and obviously you destroyed all three of us, myself, Charlie, and Brad. We were planning on doing a big, you know, wrap up show with, you know, getting Charlie and Brad back on here and talking about what happened, but really TNG just destroyed everyone. So there you go.
yeah, it's really not a lot of analysis.
Yeah. The top two scorers who were not you were Jadzia Dax 8 and Nob the Hobbit.
So if you guys want to send me your...
Oh, I got one more. Kaiser. Kaiser has 1273, yeah.
All right.
So all of you cleared the 1200 there. Oh, man, there's another one. Triumph got 1244. All right, we're going to have to figure out what the cutoff is. We're going to go with the top based fact that with that last regional could mix it up, so we wouldn't have one for the top finisher. Why don't we do something for the top? Let's see, the top two finishers based on what's left behind. How's that?
All right.
So once we figure that out, we will send out. Do we promise the regional foils? I've forgotten. I'm gonna go back and listen to the old show.
We are so overdue on ourselves.
Wow, it was like more than 4 months ago. So
I know. Well, you know what? I blame the people who didn't post their results that we've been sitting around waiting on.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure we would totally have remembered what the hell we were talking about, you know, three months ago.
I will drop something in the mail for the top three players. And based on the last tournament there, we'll see what happened.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. I think next time we will document a little bit better what we're doing so we can remember what we're doing.
Well, speaking of contests, have you had a chance to look at the entries for our Section 31 contest?
Yes, and I was pretty impressed. Some people went out of their way to be really creative on that.
Yeah, I agree. Some entries that I definitely went, okay, yeah, I would have, you know, they were in my top list of potentials, and then some that I was just like, would never have even a million years thought of, but there were convincing arguments made.
Yeah. I liked, Triumph's big in transmission, et cetera, in transmission. That was pretty good.
I agree. And I really liked, I mean, it was his selection of Eric Pressman was like an immediate, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, totally. But it was so good and so well presented, and he's such a good choice. I mean, that's I of all the personnel, he I don't know. Obviously, it was so impressive that I can't even express how much I liked it.
Yeah, I liked the idea of the admiral from Insurrection.
Yes, Doherty. Admiral Doherty.
I think it was hinted at in one of the books that he had something to do with Section 31, but I think the evidence, shown in the movie could be pretty good.
Yeah, it's very, you know, benefits the Federation, doesn't really care about the rules, mm-hmm. just wants, you know, mm-hmm. what's best for us.
working with a group that was an enemy of the Federation, you know, supplying the Sona, exactly. Supplying the Dominion. I think that fits pretty well. So that's my choice was the first one. What do you think about Maxwell, Benjamin Maxwell?
I kind of waffled on that one because I kind of like him more as a passionate rogue who's, you know, he's just gone off on his own. I could see the argument that is still his character and that Section 31 is just taking advantage of that. Like they may approach him based on that, but also given his, I don't know. I could also see Section 31's proclivity for, you know, rational thought mm-hmm. outweighing everything else for them kind of shying away from him being a little too rash. I don't really see what is to be gained for the Federation from a Section 31 perspective of recruiting him to go attacking Cardassians.
Unless there was some kind of ulterior motive. How about the idea that he was given information by Section 31 and didn't know it?
That I like a lot.
Yeah, that wouldn't make him a member of Section 31 or grant him the skill, but I can see that being a play.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. All right, well, is there anything else you want to chat about?
The most creative, I don't know if I necessarily buy into it, but it's certainly the most out of left field approach is, Soggy Amphibian's hologram Wayoon. I thought that was kind of hilarious that, you know.
Wait. I think you got it backwards there.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. He did the other one. It was Gooey Chewy had the holographic Wayoon, which is just, exists for a moment and then is gone. I like the Section 31 tie-in with the whole Confessions in the Pale Moonlight.
Mm-hmm.
Story arc, but him never. Unless we find a way to make what was his name, Graython Tolar or whatever, that programmer part of Section 31.
Yes,
like if whoever made him was part of Section 31. But yeah, that was kind of a cool out of left field type of thing.
I liked it. The last was perhaps the one you were thinking of was the big Soggy Amphibians. Agent Helix.
Yes.
I mean, that's definitely pulling in a lot of random things.
Yeah.
I suppose if you, I wouldn't put it past some creative novelist to tile that together, but.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those. You do see a lot in the expanded universe, probably more for Star Wars than Star Trek, but a lot of pulling in peripheral threads from assorted episodes and kind of tying them all together, which is really cool.
All right, very good. So we also promised, actually, I think we promised a lot of things to whoever won this, didn't we?
We did. I believe we said we would select a winner.
Yeah.
And they would get our individual card prizes from the game show that we participated in, our Fizbin winnings.
That's right.
And then a random participant would get our packs.
Yeah. All right. So shall we award the grand prize to Triumph?
Yeah, I still got to go with that as my first choice, I think.
I agree. All right. Then I will offline roll a die and figure out who gets the packs, and I'll get that in the mail out to lucky contestants.
Excellent. Speaking of lucky contestants, I don't know. I don't want to say luck. I thought it was pure skill. You were on fire this weekend.
I had a good tournament weekend. We played a 1E block tournament, which we don't do very often.
No, I think it's only like a second one we've had.
Yeah. Last time I played Klingon, and everyone else played Klingon, so I shied away from it this time. There is an achievement for playing Starfleet in block, since there's not much Starfleet support. And I figured we'd get at least three people going for that. So my plan was let me pick a bunch of missions that don't have the Federation icon on it, so I probably won't double up with Starfleet because I don't like mission duplication. That led me to Ferengi. So I looked around and saw a couple interesting decks. The one that won Worlds, and there was another block deck that did pretty well. I think it was the first online block tournament. And I kind of took those, put in my own missions, took a few people out, put a few people in, built my dilemma combos, and figured, I'll go with that. It was a pretty small deck compared to what I was expecting to bring, but Ken won Worlds with a 30-card Ferengi deck, so, you know, it seemed to be a good idea. Charlie was my first opponent, and he was missing a few cards and hadn't probably tested his deck very well because there were some things that he just couldn't do. And then I played Thomas, I played Johnny, and I played you, so I had to run the gauntlet. and I narrowly beat Thomas. We duplicated a lot of missions. He was also playing Ferengi, and I went over and took the ones that were near his outpost, and he hit his own dead end and my dead end, and since I had taken those missions, there wasn't much he could do. Against Johnny, he just couldn't catch a break the entire game. All my random selections came up my way, and I powered through a couple of missions, and I was on the way, I think the last turn, I was on the way to race down the space line to steal a mission that he had cleared out, and time was called, and I realized that on his turn, I didn't have enough range to get there. On his turn, all of the cards that made him not be able to attempt was that two security and two leadership. Friendly fire would go off, and once the friendly fire went off, he could finish one mission, two mission, and then go clear out, and then go to the last mission. The mission that was cleared out that I was on my way to, the mission that had the friendly fire, and then the last one was a dead end, and he could have done all three missions on the same turn and won. So I had to go power through a space mission, but I had easily two or three times the number of people he did out, so I just rushed it and went through and took it out.
Nice.
Yeah, so I finished it so it was a full win. And then against you, you did something to me that was completely unexpected. You had a dilemma combo that was Birth of Junior, which put it on my ship because you had the enhancer out, reducing my range. If my range was reduced to one, my ship was destroyed. And the next one was Subspace Shockwave.
Yes.
That put two damage markers on my ship, and they were both target engines. So my range was reduced by six, and my range was seven, and so my range was one, and my ship was destroyed by Junior. All hands lost. That was pretty cool. I have to say, was there a distracted by thoughts of home on top of that as well?
There should have been. I don't know. There was that combo was kind of a last minute thing that I thought of. One of I've said I tried to do too many things in my decks, but that one was the highlight of my my day because it was just so goofy and
that was great. I mean, I had I put Ferenginar in my deck against my better judgment because it was difficult to attempt, but I could play Quark free there and I could play War Room free there, and the War Room made my Cunning Seven guys Cunning Nine guys, so even with distracted by thoughts of home, I'd still be able to get past that Shockwave. I figured I'd be safe, but all of those guys were stopped or not there, so it hit and I lost my ship. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I doubled up on that. The distracted probably would have been a good idea, although it sounds like it would have not affected you if you had had your guy there. But I doubled up the damage markers. Subspace Shockwave Gome 2 has been one of my favorite combos for a while, pretty much since Gome 2 came out. So much so that I stopped using it because so many people have planned around it. But
yeah, well, that's, if you can get the first one to hit, that's two damage markers, probably killing two people if that's what your deck's set up to. And then the dilemma kills two people, so you only have four people left for the Gomtu, and then you're not going to pass that with, you know, 9 minus 4, 5 people. That'd be pretty rough.
Yeah.
So you get another two damage markers, and everybody else dies, and it gets blown away. That was good.
But yeah, and I'm glad that I doubled that for Bertha Jr., because there were a couple people who got past it, the Shockwave first.
Yeah.
And then got stopped by Gomtu, and so I did, in either case, I got two damage markers out there and was able to reduce the range.
Nice.
In one shot, which was cool. Yeah, I was like, there's some -3 range tactics, aren't there? There have to be. And so I jostled my seed deck around and made room for a battle bridge so I could do that. And
yeah.
My only regret was not playing with two Bertha Juniors. Like, I don't know why. I built my whole battle bridge around getting this dilemma to work. Why, you know, like, oh, which space mission is he going to do? I got to put it under there. Should have put in two Bertha Juniors.
Yeah. The other trick that I had in my deck to attempt Ferenginar, you need a Klingon and somebody with VIP.
That was so cool.
Which the Ferengi have none of because they're, you know, military, right? And there's no non-aligned VIPs in block either, which I was really surprised to see. We need to convert Maruk. Anyway.
Let's give everybody a one-person mission solved.
Yeah. So I put in Commander Kalar because she's VIP, and I put in Kaelas because he's VIP, and you can download Kaelas with A Matter of Honor and turn one of your random Ferengi into a Klingon. So I had two temporal micro wormholes so they could report aboard the ship, and the last guy I had was what's the name of the tall Klingon male? Karal?
Karal, yeah.
Yeah, him and a bunch of non-aligned guys can just go attempt it and try to clear out some dilemmas, so there's no lack of prep in block yet.
Oh, yeah.
So I can just, you know, redshirt a team and try to clean it out where my Klingons are safe. My Klingon VRPs are safe somewhere else. It worked pretty well. Not many people thought I would be able to easily do the mission, and it turned out that it wasn't as bad as it could have been. I don't know. I don't like having a mission in a deck where I need one of two people to solve it, otherwise I can't. I like having a little bit more redundancy to that. But it worked pretty well. I was able to throw a lot of orange bodies at things and keep them safe if I needed to.
Yeah. It was really hard to get around that mentality of I don't need to attempt with three people. I don't need to have everybody to attempt. I'm not going to get hit with Aka Prep. I'm not going to get hit with villagers with torches. But
well, the worst thing against redshirting seems to be a friendly fire, because if you redshirt against that, you're stuck for two turns.
Sure. Well, there's a few, for, you know, friendly fire or linguistic ledger domain. Or,
yeah, that's God. I think those were the two.
The couple of times I've used God in or block, I actually had him. Nobody hit him this weekend, but I moved it out to first instead of last, because a lot of people are like, "Oh, I'm going to put him last." But you know,
I didn't have an answer for God. I was all moving chips around and trying not to be there.
Your two Klingon helped.
Yeah, but I can't risk. I certainly couldn't risk them both in the same away team. I mean, if it were after I had solved Ferenginar and I was going somewhere else, sure.
Yeah. Well, but, and I made you do it last.
Yeah. 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 The dead end there. But I had a pretty good time. I'm glad we played four rounds. How did your day was Starfleet and difficult?
My day was very poor. I suffered from any number of things. Starfleet in 1E is hard in any case. And that's the reason I haven't played it in a while, because they draw cards like the Dickens, but they can't play anything. They always need help. You can supplement them with augments, and get some card draws that way, but again, you're getting free plays, but you're only getting free plays that you're either not going to work with. That treaty has to be double seeded. You need that. You know, you can't seed the treaty. You have to either play it from your deck, or you have to use that Oplan Diplomatic Relations, which is basically two seed cards. Or
sure,
You know, you can play the slave girls, but then you're using non-aligned, so you don't get the benefit of we're ready. Everywhere you go, there is a compromise. So it's tough, and a lot of people don't play them. Block, I figured, well, you know, at least they're not very, they're not really supported, but there's enough to try and play it. We'll just forego we're ready. We'll throw in the Klingons. We'll throw in the non-aligned and just kind of try to go crazy. Oh my God. Moving around without the temporal vortex is grueling.
Well, out of times were you playing with?
Five.
And how big was your deck?
Big. 60 cards.
It's easier in complete when you can defend Homeworld for Daniels and get it out whenever you need it.
And I, you know, I thought about temporal micro wormholing Jameson 7 of 9, which I wish I had done. I wish I had remembered earlier because I had Silic in there, but I forgot that he was a temporal agent, so I could have been using him to travel as well. I remembered about an hour before the tournament that Starbase 1 does not seed.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, wait, okay, well, hang on, take that out. I guess we can put it in the deck and then draw it and play it, maybe do that. Oh, hey, I'll use this alternate text on the strategic base. That'll be fun. No, it wasn't fun.
Yeah.
What I also forgot is that means I now cannot play Assigned Mission Specialist. That means I can't play any of the non-22, non-aligned people that I have in my deck. That means I can't play the ships that I have in there. It means I can't play the equipment that I have in there. I couldn't use the new... I put the two new equipment in there. Or two of the three new... Elorian. I was like, okay, cool. Phaser, pad. Oh, wait, no. Can only play 22 equipment. And then somewhere in the middle or the end of my second game, I realized that... Because I was like, I was going to put in a non-aligned outpost, but that's not in block. That didn't help me. So I was like, I'm basically screwed. Oh, yeah. I could have played a Ferengi trading post because everything can report there.
Yeah.
So it was realization after realization after realization of stuff that I should have done. On top of the mid-tournament discovery that Earth is no longer Starfleet's homeworld?
Correct.
What is that about?
What did that screw you out of?
Well, I couldn't play my HQ homeworld, my HQ war room. I couldn't. I put in like three extra straight and steadies because I was, you know, there's a lot of interaction in block. Maybe that was just because we all played Klingon last time, but the Ferengi come over and hit you for points and all that stuff. So I was like, well, I want to have shields so I don't get destroyed while they're scoring their points. But it also, you can also use it to discard it to move one step down the space line towards your homeworld, which is a nice,
right.
Because their range sucks so bad.
Yeah.
You don't have the Enterprise, which is the range booster. You can only use the Columbia or the Sarajevo, which both blow goats. So I was kind of counting on that as an extra, you know, mission to be able to move. And it's move one space line location towards your homeworld or facility. And it's no longer your homeworld, and apparently because the facilities are at a time location elsewhere, they don't count, so you can't move anywhere.
Yeah, so, that Ferengi outpost would have been pretty helpful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So between things that I didn't realize and things that I should have put in and things that I shouldn't have put in, it was a really long day. And I'm going to go out... I would have lost all my games. I narrowly defeated JD because basically he was inexperienced and didn't really... He made what was really a good move in with the knowledge that he had, which was there is no way for anybody to solve Earth.
Right. So he didn't put any dilemmas there.
So he divvied up his dilemmas and put them elsewhere to make it harder for me to do those. Great move, except that he did not, know
there's
that there
a seed
were
card. Yeah.
There are non-TNG, you know, he's been playing primarily TNG-based decks and knew that you know, it looked like all decks would be TNG based for block, but Starfleet has that objective that they can play.
Yep. Yep.
So I was able to do another mission, and then that to pass up his one mission.
Yeah.
But that was pure luck.
What do you think about block as a tournament format?
I think because of TNG, your options are really limited.
Well, I think that's because that there's only been one set made for block.
Yeah.
That your options are pretty limited.
I think it's
still in its infancy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I still kind of like the idea. I know a lot of people are like, there's too few cards to choose from, so you're basically only going to see one of four decks, and one of those sucks, so you're only going to see one of three decks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more or less true, but the problem is you're not really getting any help from that first, you know, it's 2 years worth of sets and you're not really getting any help from that first year. It's only incidental help. It's all from TNG right now. But if you, once block rotates and you get into 2 years of sets.
So ask again at this time next year,
then you're going to have, then you're going to have all of the base decks that you can build out of TNG, plus all of the base decks that you can build out of DS9.
Mm-hmm.
And
I would say,
go ahead.
I would say at this time next year, you've got your three TNG decks right now, plus arguably one coming out that's going to be Romulan, right?
Romulans.
Plus, I don't know if a deck type is going to be available in the last set that's supposed to be Riemann's, but, you know, I assume so. So that's 5 plus DS9 is likely to be DS9 and Cardassian, so that's 5. So that's you're up to 9 different deck types then. That's a whole lot more than 4.
Sure.
Call it 3.5.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of it like as compared to, I mean, it's sort of based on the animal of Magic, and its rotation schedule. And
it would be hard to judge that before anything rotated out anyway.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, before anything rotates, I'm just trying to think because of the way Star Trek has set it with the affiliations and the number of cards that you're trying to get out in a set, plus trying to think of it in a block format.
Yep.
There's not really a lot of different ways to play a single affiliation.
Right.
And then
sure, I can see that.
If you're going to, so you basically have your one affiliation deck type, and then, you know, instead of trying to find more additional ways of playing that, you're going to want to have more affiliation types to come out. So there's new decks, but really not a lot of variety.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you think about 2 years of Magic.
Sure. There's basically
5 colors, but
and then 2 or 3 ways to play each color.
Exactly. I mean, the variants are greater between those, and it's a lot easier to mix them together than it is in block. You really can't in block, effectively, since there's no treaties in block. You can try doing the Starfleet thing where there's the Starfleet treaty, but I mean, I have seen people try to make non-treaty dual decks where you play Klingon and you play Federation, and they both do their own thing on their own time and still try to win, but it's really hard.
We have one more block tournament scheduled before the end of the year. I think it's in late November or December, so hopefully that's after the next set comes out. So there'll be at least one more deck type to try. Shuffle things up a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's in December, so we should definitely see some green floating around.
Excellent.
So, yeah. I mean, it's young, and there's a lot of stuff that'll do, but it's still, you know, I'd say it's a lot easier to make a deck, but there's still fun things to do, and I had a lot of fun playing with the dilemmas that are, you know, it's a lot smaller dilemma pool, so you can kind of look at everything and going, you know, interlock the pieces and what kind of combos you can make, and, you know, there's still some variation within the affiliations to focus on what you want to do, and you know, it's a neat, it's definitely a good format for introducing people to the game. I'm happy to have one every time we have one, just if for no other reason than to give JD a little bit more introduction into playing first edition without all of the shenanigans.
Certainly, without the okay, you just do your thing, and I'll just pretend that you're following the rules because I can't tell.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
So the more grounding he gets in block, the better he's going to be at OTF, and the more fun he has playing OTF, the longer he'll stick around, hopefully, and we'll, you know, I don't think he's going anywhere. He seems to be really enjoying playing with us, and it's great to have him. So, but, you know, anything that the more general example is anything to encourage players to play the game and stick around playing the game is not a bad thing.
Agreed. All right. Well, is there anything else we need to talk about? Charlie borrowed my triple deck and beat everybody with it. The most epic ending of a triple match ever.
Yeah,
that
was really cool.
Going into the last round, Charlie was down by 90,000 or something.
I think it was more than 100,000.
So maybe it was 190,000, and you were in the lead, and he went out and didn't have enough to win. But his last card was a copy, so he copied Thomas's Mutate and shuffled his cards in, and he had eight cards to flip over to try to get 200,000, and he pulled it off. He pulled out two of them, so he just edged by.
Yeah, it was a great dramatic ending.
Yeah, shuffle like, up all right. And just flip, big. It was awesome.
And because of the rule, like, you know, he basically had to know or decide, you know, all right, well, this is my last card. I'm playing the Mutate. What am I going to do? Do I do it or not?
Sure. So
he had
to know what he had in his pile.
Yeah. But he seemed pretty confident in it, in knowing that he wasn't going to make it. So.
Yeah, that was entertaining. And I got a couple pages of promos from Johnny. So I'm going to cut those up and get the last of the promenade orders out. There's just a handful that have been hanging on me getting the last of these, and then there should be an announcement soon on what's going to happen to the league kit, the promo kits and the league kits and everything else shortly, so look for that. Also, we have in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we've got the raffle coming up, so lots should be going up on the discussion board soon about what we're going to be packing off.
Cool.
Right on.
All right, well, it was a bunch of intelligence for this week, so we're going to call it at the end there. We'll give a shout-out to Warp 11 because they rock, and they have a kick-ass theme song for us. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I'll remind you all to expand your block power in the universe.
And I will thankfully draw 157 to end. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect Section 31. Section 31. Section 31.